Okay. I hope you have this sheet from yesterday because we're just going to continue to use the finish up the Gemara Makoma from that sheet. But let's just read one part of the Gemara again so we're all on the same page. So three lines from the top of Yerma Beis, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Hey, she yashva al safso echa velo shavruhu. Uva a echa v'yashva ala v'shivru. Ha'achron chayev. Who's chayev? The last guy who sat down. Amar ha'papa kagon papa baraba. Who sat down on this bench that broke the bench? Who was it? It was Kagon Papa Barabo, who actually told us, not in any, you know, in the nicest of ways, Kagon Papa Barabo, the Baal Basar, who he was exceedingly heavy. So look over here at Tosis, Dav Yudam and Aleph. Tosis says, and then he's obligated to pay. So who's obligated to pay? The Achron, the last guy who sat down, is obligated to pay. Papa Barabo. But is this everybody's Papa Barabbas or only the last guy? You'll say, well, what difference does it make? Makes a big difference. Look over here at the Tosis and the Avirom and Aleph. Tosis quotes, Mefarish Rashbam, Dinaka Papa Barabba, Vifishastam B'nei Adam Husha'u, L'chol Abam Eyelev. If you put out a bench and you are open to other people sitting upon it, so then it's there for people to sit on. L'chol Abam Eyelev Veshvalei. While you put out these nice benches over here, it's for someone to sit down upon it. That's why they put it there. I mean, I don't know. I presume. I don't have any inside information or anything. That is like if I borrow something and it breaks through the normal course of using that item, a shoel, it's potter from Mesa Machmas Malacha. I borrow your car. And I drive the car like every other normal person drives a car, and the car breaks down. That's not, my responsibility as a shoel, even though I'm chayav for own sim, because even if accidents occur, because even if it's out of my control, I'm obligated to pay. Here, that was the normal usage of the item. Perhaps that's what you had in mind. Machlok is rishonim, why you're potter, but meisa machlok is alocha, you're potter, because that's what you lent it to me for. Aval papa bar abba, shehu mishuna, v'kaveh mishar b'nei adam, papa bar abba, was above the weight expectancy of most of the people who would use the bench, exceeded the capacity of the bench. Mishar ben Elam, stama ein sha'ulo. That's not what the bench was placed there for. So therefore, Papa Baraba had to pay. Ulu perusho, tzarech lomar, kigon Papa Baraba, kuhu kai. Therefore, we must say that it wasn't only the last person who was Papa Baraba. It was all of them who were Papa Barabbas. Why? Because according to Rashi, right, the Gemara came back and asked on this very statement of the Gemara, why is it that only the last person has to pay? They should all be obligated to pay, because he could say to them, were it not for you, the bench wouldn't have broken. You should have gotten up when you saw me coming to sit down. You should have gotten up when you saw me coming to sit down. So must be, and if they could have had the opportunity to get up, so then, and they didn't, they would all be obligated to pay. Why would they all be obligated to pay, says Rashbam? You're just sitting on a bench like everything, like the bench is made for. Why should we be obligated to pay? Must be, we're talking about everybody over here was Papa Barabbas. V'kaim and mashma d'imhaya nishbar, I'm sorry, ilav at havayaz v'importa, we're not for you. Yeah, we don't have to say you like Rashi. Even according to the Rambam, and the tour, if it was going to break in 2 hours, and now broken earlier, an hour earlier, so they could say to him, I'm sorry, if it weren't be for you, we could have sat there for, a little bit longer. V'kaimin, mashmin, the mayanishbar, let's say, would have broken, right away. They would have been obligated to pay. Yes, remember that part of the Gemara. I'm sorry, we didn't read that today, but we hopefully remember it from yesterday. The Gemara continued on, and the Gemara said, that's Poshet. If the last guy comes, and he's the one who broke it, and wouldn't have broken without him, obviously he's the one who's chayav to pay. And the Gemara said, no, it was going to break within 2 hours. Now it broke an hour earlier because of the extra person who sat down. So says the Rashbam, sounds like if it would have broken right away, they would have been obligated to pay. Must be, we're talking about where everyone is Papa Bar Abbas, and everyone exceeded the capacity of the bench. Miu says Taisa Fiya Maskana, the Mashani, the Bahati Kasamakalayo. The only reason the last guy's obligated to pay because he leaned down on them and prevented them from getting up, ain't Tarkal Farish. the chayv of Achim Bavad. So now we're, you know, we could say that really it's only the last guy who has to pay, and only the last guy was a papa bar Abba. Okay, but what emerges from the Rashbam is a big yesod, that if I use an item, you know, I didn't borrow the item, but I used the item as it was expected to be used, and you put out a bench for people to sit on it, and it breaks in the normal course of usage, of course you're not obligated to pay. The only person who was obligated to pay was Papa Bar Abba, because he exceeded the weight capacity of the bench. What was the expected, you know, usage when the owner put it out there? Therefore, says the Rashbam, it was an almana who put out, meaning it was already, you know, it says some you know, regrettable situation, and she put out a bench in front of her property. Four people or five people came and sat down on the bench, and they broke the bench. So they obligated to pay, said the Rashbam. No, when you put out a bench, and assuming that the people have normal weight and they used it as it was supposed to be used, they're not obligated to pay. Mesa makwas malacha, no different than any other person who borrows an item and it breaks throughout the normal course of use, he's not obligated to pay. Verbazrio chayev l'shalem. He made them pay. Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish Shinaka Papa Baraba. Why? Presumably because there is no p'tur of Mesa Machmas. Mesa Machmas Malacha is if I borrow an item. So the owner gives it to me to use. And I assume responsibility as a result of that, you know, of that privilege. I'm obligated to pay if an accident occurs. But as a result of that privilege, I get the right to use it. That's what you gave it to me for. But if I just put a bench out there and you sit down and even though you're using it, it's supposed to be used, Lemaisa, you broke it. And there's no p'tur of Mesa Machmas Malacha for a person who's just using an item that wasn't given to him, you know, specifically with the privilege to you know, the rights to use it. Rabbeinu Tam Mefarish, same as Rabbi Azriel, the Naka Papa, so then why did the Gemara have to say we're talking about Papa Baraba? What do we have to make fun, you know, why do we have to mention that? If it's according to Rashbam, we understand why he mentioned Papa Baraba, that was exceeding the normal usage of the item. But according to Rabbi Azriel, that even if you didn't exceed the normal usage of the item, you'd be obligated to pay because it wasn't given to you with the right to use it expressly. So then why do you have to mention it was Papa Baraba? Ben Tam Mefarish, Naka Papa Baraba, Shum Dekama, Ben Maskana, Dekoko Kugufo Dami. Because the Gemara is going to say, since you leaned on the other people, that's considered to be your action. Medavka Papa Baraba Shu Adam Kaved. How could it be that this guy is leaning on them and they can't get up? If this guy's a scrawny little guy, why can't we just pick him up and move him? Well, meaning, so somebody's lying down on top of me, I can't get up all of a sudden, why can't we wiggle our way out? No. Medavka Papa Baraba Shu Adam Kaved Mitoch Kavdoi Mainan Lamoy. Because of his, he was so heavy, he prevented them from getting up. Other people, just because he's sitting down on me, he's lying down on me, I can't pick him up and move him? So, of course you can. So inunami pashu shelo amdu. So then the vayter are obligated because they didn't get up. V'kuhan chayovim. V'fiz et tzarech lomar. The rapapa atzmo bolataris mashahiksa v'shuleka. It was only talking about the one guy who was leaning on the other people, and it wasn't the other parties who were included as well. Okay, so what do we have over here? A machlekes between the Rashbam, you know, other than the fact, why does the Gemara mention Papa Baraba? It's because he was so heavy they couldn't move him, or it's because he exceeded the normal expected usage of the bench. But what emerges is a very important machlokes about a person who uses an item that's out for public usage. A bench I have on my front property, you know, and it breaks. So can the person who broke it claim that it was Mesa Machmas Malacha and they're exempt from paying? According to the Rashbam, they can. The only person who would be obligated to pay is Kagon Papa Bar Abba, who exceeded the weight expectancy in the usage of the item. According to Rabbi Zriel and Rabbeinu Tam, it would not be the case. No. Even if it's there for public usage, if you break it, even through the normal course of use, you're obligated to pay. Because a Shoel is the only one who has the right to use it. Not anybody else. You know, a shoel is the only one, I'm sorry, who has a p'tur of Mesa Machmas Malacha. Other people, even if they're using it in the normal way, would be obligated to pay. Why does the Rashbam hold that there's a p'tur of Mesa Machmas Malacha? It's true, it's really only by a shoel. Why should the Rashbam extend it to every individual who comes to sit on a bench? Have you hear the problem? We have a bench outside. Someone came by and sat on it. I didn't give you permission. It's there for people to sit on, but you broke it. Why are you different than any other mazik? So Rabbi Ayelev Malin, who was Rosh Yeshiva in the Mir in Brooklyn, we mentioned a few times, has in his Kiddusha, Rabbi Levi explains that the opinion of the Rashbam is, when I use something in the normal way, you can never be called a mazik. That's what he means to say. He doesn't mean to say you're a shoel, you're not chayv an ontzim. What he means to say is, if I use something in the normal way, you can never be a mazik. And with that, he explains the opinion of the Torah as well. You remember we had yesterday, machlokes between Rashi and the Torah. In different gear cells, what emerged is, if you have Chamisha Bnei Adam, who are sitting on a safsal, and then someone else comes, Ba'achron, and Shiva, it breaks. Five people sitting, another guy comes, and it breaks. So let's say it was never going to break, Never going to break. With the five people sitting there, when the last guy comes, now it breaks. So what happens there? According to Rashi, who's chayiv? Kulam chayavim. Why? Because he could say, why didn't you guys get up? What is the only scenario that Achron would be chayiv if he lies down on top of them? Rashi understood that that maskan of the Gemara was going all the way back on the first scenario where it never was going to break. According to the tour, in that situation, Ha'achron chayiv. That's where the Gemara said, Pshita! Of course the Achron is chayiv. It wasn't going to break with the first five. Of course it's your fault. So the tour holds, even though it only broke because of the contributing weight of the first five people, only the Achron is chayiv, the first ones are pata. What about if it was going to break? In 2 hours. And now it broke in 1 hour because of the last guy that came. So what happens in that situation? What would the Torah say there? The Torah would say there, everyone would agree, kulam chayav. When would only the last guy be chayav? If he lied down on top of them. Samach aleihem, if he lied down on top of them, and the Torah would say the same thing over here, right? Samach aleihem, and the finish is koko kagufo. But if it was going to break in 2 hours, then the Torah holds kulam chayavim if he's not leaning on them. If it was never going to break, according to Rashi, kulam chayavim. Why does Rashi hold kulam chayavim here, chevra? Why are they all obligated? Because they all participated. They should have gotten up. Why does the Torah disagree? Rashi asked before. Shouldn't they have gotten up? And what's the difference over here that it was going to break in 2 hours? Now all of a sudden, kulam chayavim. What's the difference between this and this? Must be kulam chayavim is, it was going to break in 2 hours. When they saw this guy coming, they should have gotten up. They said we were going to get up. We could have sat there for an hour and gotten up. Now that you came, we can't get up. Broke sooner. What's the difference in these two cases? Says Rabbi Yalev the following. Says Rabbi Malin the following. Beautiful. He says, because the Torah holds, if they're just sitting there normally and it's never going to break, then they're using it the way that it's allowed and supposed to be used. Like the Rashbam told us. You're not a mazik then. A mazik is only if somebody uses something in a way that is abnormal, that's going to cause it to break. But I'm just using it in a normal way. I'm sitting on a bench. You can't possibly be a mazik. That's meis ha'machlus malacha. It doesn't mean meis ha'machlus malacha b'shoyel. What it means is meis ha'machlus malacha. I'm using it in a normal way. That's not a mazik. If I sit on a bench, you just can't be a mazik. Oh, but if it's going to break in 2 hours, we know it's going to break in 2 hours. Zaktatur, now you are a mazik. You knew it was going to break. So even though someone else later comes and sits down, you're also a mazik. Even though it wouldn't have broken right away without his participation, you should never have sat there in a way that you knew it was going to break. Now you're a mazik. That's all right. Beautiful. So the Rebbe Malin suggested perhaps you could understand the tour in light of this pshat from the Rashbam. However, Rabbeinu Tam and the Rebbe Azriel would disagree. And they say, no, even if you're using it in a normal way, you could still be a mazik. And that's what the machlokas between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbi Azriel is all about, is can I be a mazik if I'm using something in a normal way? Nothing to do with shoel and mesa machs malacha. that term is just we're extrapolating from it. We're importing it over here because we're trying to decipher whether a person who uses something in a normal way could be considered a mazik, or the person who uses something in a normal way should not be considered a mazik. And according to Rashbam, you can never be a mazik if you use it in a normal way. That's meis machas malacha. That's just simply not a mazik. And according to Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbi Zerio, there is no p'tor meis machas malacha, because even if you use it in a normal way and lamaisa it breaks, you're considered to be a mazik. This machlokes should have a very interesting nafkamina with regards to the following situation. The Gemara says over here, Masechtas Bava Metzia, that a person is not allowed to borrow a Sefer Torah or a Sfarim of his friend without his permission. Normally, we're going to see, you can borrow things of your friend, items of your friend, without his permission, but not Sefer Torah and Sfarim. So the Gemara says over here, Masechtas Bava Metzia, the following. Amar Mar, Hashol Sefer Torah Mechavero, I borrow a Sefer Torah from my friend, Harei Zeh Lo Yashilenu La'acher, you should not lend it to somebody else. My ear is safe for Torah. I feel kol mili nami. Just because someone lent me something doesn't mean I have the right to give it to other people. Dama Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Kanchan Rebbe, Eina Shor, Rosha Lahashil. Just because I borrowed something, I have no right to lend it to others. Veina Seich, Rosha Lahaskir, because I rented something doesn't mean I have the right to sublet it to somebody else. No, the Gemara says, safe for Torah, it's Richole. Safe for Torah is an additional Kiddush. Mahu de Tema, I might have thought, Nechale le Inish de Teyovin Mitzvah b'mamone, Kamash Malan. I would have thought people are happy to do a mitzvah with their property, Kamash Malan, that is not the case. And therefore, you cannot lend the Sefer Torah to the other person. People are not happy to do a mitzvah with their money. Yeah, but we have a problem is in another Gemara Maseches Pesachim, which tells us people are happy to do a mitzvah with their money. The Gemara says over here, "Isvav Maseches Pesachim Daf Dalet Amud Beis." Hiboy lahu. Gemara says, "Shaila Hamaskir Bais Lechaver Becheskes Boduk." I rent a property in Jerusalem for Pesach, and I assume we negotiate. I assume that it was going to be a bedi. The owner was going to do bedikas chametz before I arrived. I'm arriving erev Pesach. Umatzu, when I arrive, she'eno boduk. It's not boduk. Mahu. Mi havi kamekachtos, is it now mekachtos except forget it, I'm not paying you, I'm going to the hotel. I'm taking a different property. Although it's not a mekachtos. See, Gemara says, Tashma, we quote a brisa. Domar Abaye, I'm coming here, no, this is not a brisa, it's a statement of Abaye. Lo mi boy ba'asud lo yahavi agro budku. There's no shaila in a city where you don't have to pay for bedikas chametz. People check themselves. I could say that the owner could say back to the renter, I did you a favor. Now I'm giving you this chus of doing an extra bedikas chametz. Ashrecha. People are always happy to do mitzvahs with their body. Even if in Jerusalem the common minhag would be that people pay others to do bedikas chametz, an idea that's having a resurgence in our time. So the nechalei leinish l'kimei mitzvah b'monei. No, even then it's not a mekachtos. Why? People are happy to spend the extra money to do a bedikas chametz. Nechalei leinish l'kimei mitzvah b'monei. We're happy to spend our money on mitzvahs. Whenever it comes to mitzvahs, nobody begrudgingly gives us. Everyone is besimcha rabba to participate financially. Yeah, but the Gemara said in Maseches Bava Metzia, lo nechalei leinish l'kimei mitzvah b'monei. You can't take a sefer Torah that someone lent you and give it to somebody else, even though the guy's going to do a mitzvah with it. You can't do it. What's the difference? So writes the Ritva and Maseches Bava Metzia, and the brackets back in Osei, Perush, Kamash Malan, the Baha, Kaven, the Ika, Kpeda, Le Kilku, HaSefer, Lo Nechalei. It's only by Svarim, because people are afraid it's going to become ruined. Da Yotzeskar Bev Seido. I'm happy to do a mitzvah with my money, but not if I'll never be able to use this item again. And the Sefer Torah might become ruined. Ki hayom amachar lo yihi yelo sefer b'melimo. I won't have anything from which to learn. Avo b'midi deleka shum chashash kilko vada yochol lisho shalom midas habaylim. Something where there's no chashash, it is going to become ruined. People are happy to lend their items to others to perform a mitzvah. Mi avin mitzvah kigon imatza talis o tefillin shal chaver beis hakneses. You come to shul, you recognize you don't have a talis and tefillin, you see someone's talis and tefillin are there, presumably they have a second pair which they're using somewhere else, and you can borrow their pair without their permission. You can borrow their pair of talis and tefillin without their permission because they're happy to do a mitzvah with their money. That is the assumption, operating assumption. And this is, as opposed to Sfarim, not because Svarim were afraid he's going to become ruined and he won't have a sefer from which to learn. This how appears in Shulchan Aruch. Look in Shulchan Aruch. Simi Yudal Sevdal of Chasitzis Muta Lito Talis Chaveru Uvarich Alei. I can borrow your talis and make a bracha on it. Uvilvad Sheikapo Osa Matzim Kupelas. You better fold it if you found it folded. V'hu Adim B'Tfilin. Avo Osa Lilmon Misfarm Shachaveru Belo Daito De Chayshinon Shema Yikro Sambali Mudo. You cannot borrow the Sfarim of other people without their expressive permission because they might become ruined. And Lo Necha Le Le'inish L'Riyavim Mitzvah Mamone, as the Gemara told us, if it might become ruined, then they won't have a sefer from which to learn. Nonetheless, Zakti Yorach HaShochan over here, Oisches. That's only in those days before the advent, the introduction of the printing press. Where if you had it, everyone was learning from manuscripts or copies of manuscripts. So Svarim were quite rare. In our times, where there's a proliferation of Svarim, perhaps even beyond what is necessary, so then one can use the Svarim of others, even without their permission. Says Aruch HaShulchan over here, where is it? Three lines from the bottom. Uviyameinu shasfarim betzuyim betfus lo shayach ze. Doesn't apply. And he goes on, and he says, if someone wants to borrow your sefer and you are don't want to lend it to him, we can compel you to lend it to him. Let's read the whole thing. He says, v'dafka k'shanif k'reino tamar chacham. Let's say someone wants to borrow your sefer as a tamar chacham, about k'shu tamar chacham ve'ein lo sefer kaze. He's a Talmud Chacham. He simply doesn't have access to this book. Muta likros lahatik mimenu devada adaita dahachi hifkid. If you give it to him, he has the right to copy it because obviously you gave it to him with that in mind. And then he writes, okay, muta mitamze lahatik sefer afshabai makpidim uksiv lo yavozo. You can copy it. The bikagon zeh kofin amidah stone. In our times, we can compel you to do something, even though you don't want to do it, because you have nothing to lose from the process. So too, says Aruch HaShulchan, in our times, a person who doesn't want to lend his sefer to somebody else, when Sfarim are so common and accessible, it's kind of like a kofin al midas tom, not to lend your sefer to somebody else. What do you care? Yeah, that's what he writes in the last line. Mikomakom ani tamachakom she'en lo bamel lilmod u'bal ha'sefer eino rotz l'hashel osfarim gadol avono minaso. Wow. His avera is too great to bear. So those guys who write in their svarim, also lehishtamish shaloi birshus, says the Aruch HaShulchan, gadol avono minaso. Presumably what they mean is you can use it in the spot. They don't want to lose their sefer. So you shouldn't. And if you found it folded and put it in such a way, you should leave it in the way that you found it. It says Aruch HaShulchan, someone who doesn't let other people use Sfarim, Gado Avono Minasovi Yecholim Bezim Akufo Ulashilo. We can force you to lend it to somebody else. Yeah, what do you want to say?
You said the fact that we have more Sfarim today should lead to the opposite conclusion.
Go buy your own.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Not everyone can afford it still, even though it is common.
I mean, can we make the argument like, if you go to Meir Shalom, you can buy some Sfarim for pennies, like they're just so cheap.
Yeah, garbage. You can buy the Sfarim you don't want, not the Sfarim that you do want. You can't get a Noz Mahadah Gemara for pennies. You'll be able to get, a waterlogged, all the written up of a comma that you get for pennies, but not the sefer that you want. Okay, so now you can borrow Sfarim even without permission. That's the Aruch HaShulchan told them. If a guy writes Asa L'Shtamish Lo B'Shus, he shouldn't use it, but I wouldn't write that in my Sfarim if I were you. The Aruch HaShulchan says, Godo Avono Minaso. Fine. Let's say a guy borrows a sefer. What was the fear about borrowing Sfarim in the first place? It might become ripped or torn or unusable. Let's say that happens. I'm borrowing a sefer, and now it rips. But I wasn't using it carelessly. I was using it in the way that Sfarim is supposed to be used. Do we have a p'tura? Mesa, machlokes, malokum. Or am I a mazik? I'm obligated to pay. It should depend on this machlokes between the Rashbam and Rabbeinu Tam. According to the Rashbam, we should say that a person is using an item as it's supposed to be used, like a bench, Never be obligated to pay. Mesa machmas malacha. You're never a mazik if you use it in the way that it was supposed to be used. However, according to, and most people have their sfarim out there, hoping that other people will use it, because nechalei le'inish, and they have a mitzvah mone. It's a great thing. You can get mitzvahs with your money, even though you're not even there learning. Second best, vicarious learning. However, according to Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbi Zrio, there is no p'tur meisa machas malacha when it comes to borrowing items without permission, even though that's why it's there for other people to use, that's why a bench is there, but l'maisa, if you're the one who breaks it, even though you were using it as it was supposed to be used, it could still be labeled as a mazik. And therefore, a person who's using someone else's sefer would be obligated to pay if he tears the page. This was a big machlokas of contemporary poskim with one P.S. We'll just read it over here. Fascinating story. Flip the page. Ois test. In the Chuvas of the Minchas Aluzer. Minchas Aluzer is the Munkach Rebbe. So he writes over here, Chelak Dalitzim and Ayin and his Chuvas. Really wonderful Chuvas. But he has over here something. He quotes from the Sefer Toldos Adam of Maraz Talmud Agra. Anybody who know who that is? Maraz Talmud Agra. It's Reb Zalmala Volozhin. That was Reb Chaim Volozhiner's brother, who was reputed to be, Reb Chaim said, was even greater than he was, comparable not to the Vilna Gaon. He said he was later, less than the Vilna Gaon. He made a point, the famous story of the Levi of Reb Zalman Volozhin, and someone compared him to the Vilna Gaon. He said, no, my brother was not as great as the Vilna Gaon. Interesting. But great Talmud Chacham nonetheless. So it says, and the Sefer told us Adam of Reb Zalman Volozhin. Sipa li Raber. Pam achas ba'ela Reb Zalman v'yomalo she'ela achas ketana shoychu me'imoch. He said, I have one little shayla from you. Hashileni no sefer tanan de be'elio. He wanted to borrow the sefer tanan de be'elio. V'yon osa raber im ketana hi be'necha g'dole hi elai. It's a small favor for you. It's a great favor for me. Ki ha'sefer zeh yaker v'choviv olai. This is my favorite sefer. V'yarini pen yikra'enu ason, as Yaakov said, by Binyamin going down to Mitzrayim, I'm afraid an accident will occur. V'chol zoslo yachol ha'ashev es p'nei Reb Zalman reikam v'yitin ha'sefer al-yodo. So he gave him the sefer to borrow. What happened? Ad ha'chi ba'chi v'hu b'lechto me'im p'na v'ma'sefer heichalil mo b'shkid ha'nifla. Reb Zalman Volozhin was even greater than Reb Chaim Volozhin, was learning it with tremendous hasmada ad she'b'yomim achadim nivlu alei ha'sefer me'rov m'soyse yadayim. The binding fell apart. He came and he returned it in its tattered form. He got upset at Reb Zalman. He said with his beautiful language, what are you angry at me for? He said, what did you think when you lent it to me? That I was going to flip through it, casually? Of course, he was going to learn it with tremendous intensity. So, and obviously, the person, Reber, who he borrowed the sefer from, felt that Mesa Machmas Malacha does not apply in this situation of a person who I guess was using it with the good graces of Reber, but it wasn't necessarily a typical Shoel. So that's the springboard for the Tshuva of the Minchas Elazar. There's a person who uses the Svarim of other people without permission. Does he have a Ptur, a Mesa Machmas Malacha with regards to the Svarim? Or perhaps not. I believe it should depend on this Machlokes between the Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, and Rabbi Israel. Okay.